Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. As you look at this story, we know it as we come into the promised land. Moses has died. Joshua has taken over. And as we look tonight, today, we want to talk about accomplish the impossible. As we look at that, we see this story that Joshua tells as he begins to go. God leads him across the river, and as he goes into it, they come to this great big fort, this big city, this big town. There's no way that they, untrained as they are, can take this stronghold. So the question comes up, what do we do? How do we conquer this? God, you have promised us this promised land over here, and we can't get to it because of this stronghold here. How do we get to that? And so when we read about this story, we see that God takes and delivers them and brings them to it without firing a shot. Now, I think that's one of the most amazing stories, amazing battles that I've ever seen or heard of in my life, to be able to conquer a town without firing a shot. Without firing an arrow or anything. To put it bluntly, it's kind of silly. It's one of those stories you hear about or read about in a book that they marched around the thing and they jumped up and down and they hollered and screamed and the priest blew the whistles, the lamb's horns. They went around there for 7 days doing that or 6 days, and on the seventh day they go around and they do the same thing. And the walls fall down. Now that's kind of a story tale, isn't it? And you can understand why most people cannot accept that if they don't know God as their Lord and Savior, because they just don't understand the power of it. So as we think about this, we see that there were three steps that they took. In these three steps that they took, they also reflect back into our lives. And as we think about that, we'll see that. We call it the three C's of accomplishments. In verses 1 and 2, we see this. Consider it done. You know, Nike came out, just do it. God says, consider it done. That's what he told Joshua. He says, when I tell you to go do it, just consider it's already done. In verse 1, he says, now the gates of Jericho were securely barred because of the Israelites. No one went out, no one came in. Then the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have delivered Jericho into your hands, along with his kings and his fighting men. So it's already been done. It's already been done. God says, go do it. I've already taken care of everything. It's done. Consider it done. Have you ever asked somebody to do something and look at you and say, just consider it done? And you go, yeah, right. God says, it is done. Here it was an impossible, a trained army, a fortified fort. And archaeologists have discovered that the scriptures are right, by the way. Archaeologists have found Jericho. They have done the excavation. And they have found that the walls didn't crumble down, but the walls fell down. Now, today, we know the power of tsunamis and things like that, hurricanes and all that, and we can see things pushed. But have you seen the power of God to take all the walls of Jericho and just make them fall down? Just push them over. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that something that we would see that is impossible? God made a promise, and he says, I see I have delivered Jericho into your hands. He made that promise. And so when we take a task in ministry, when we're given an opportunity for God to use us, we must remember that God calls us when we are ready, and he is able to trust our spiritual abilities. Now, the commentator that wrote that, I think, is partly true. Because if God waited on us to be ready, he'd never get anything done, would he? It's just like people are talking about, you know, I'm going to have a child when I'm ready. Well, if you're ever going to get ready to have a child, you'll never have one. If you just don't jump in there and do it, you'll never have it. Or, you know, I'm going to do this before. You can't. And God cannot wait on us to be ready. The only thing he can do is wait on us to say, I am ready, and then prepare us. Paul put in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. Now, even Christians will sometimes disagree with that because we feel like we have taken on more than we can bear. What else could happen, right? And then something else happens, and we just look at God and say, God, I can't take anymore. I've had it. But God knows how much we can take even better than we do, doesn't he? And so when we need to trust in him, we see that he is going to take care of us. And then he goes on to say, but when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. So for every action, there is a reaction, and God gives us that reaction. He gives us a way out, doesn't he? And so as we think about that, when we do get bogged down with all of life's tassels and all of the stuff that goes on in our lives and all of this, and we just can't take any more, we can go to God, and he will show us the way out. In other words, God has prepared his people for his work. That's what we're put on this earth. Jesus came on this earth to what? To die, not to minister. That was not his job. It was not to do miracles. It wasn't to walk on the water. It wasn't none of those things, but it was to simply die on the cross for our sins. But God has put us on this earth not for our pleasures and the things that we enjoy, but he's put us on this earth as Christians to be what? To do his work, to follow on. Ephesians 4:11 says, so Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers, and here's the catch, to equip his people for works of service. And I think that's where our churches are falling. That's where Protestantism is falling. Christianity is falling today is because we're not equipping the saints. We come to church, we worship, we sing songs, we listen to the teacher preach. But 9 times out of 10, by Wednesday, probably by Sunday afternoon, you couldn't tell anybody what the preacher preached. So how is that equipping us for God's work? Equipping means that we need to preach, we need to teach, we need to train, and we need to educate, and we need to be able to go out. And he says, equip his people for the works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Now, statistics have said in all denominations, not just Baptists, but in all denominations, that most young people today don't trust the church. Most young people do not trust the church. They love Jesus, don't get me wrong. They just do not love the church. Why not? We have forgotten to what? Edify. We need to build up, don't we? We need to lift up one another. We've been given gifts for the glory of God. Every one of us will do good. Miss Sarah over here and Jimmy, they read music, they sing and play music like I would like to do, but I can't. And no matter how much training I get, I would never get that way. That's just not one of those gifts that I received. But there are other gifts that God has given me that I can use. And that is what we need to learn to use. And when we do, and when we begin to use God and let him use us, then our ministries begin to build up one another. But we are also to pray for one another also. And so when we see that, when we are faced with an overwhelming task, such as overcoming the city's walls without firing a shot, God is there, and he has already given us the victory. So what did Joshua do? First of all, he believed, didn't he? Do you believe that God can use you this morning? Do you believe that you can do the impossible task this morning for God? You have to believe. Secondly, you have to obey. Do we obey? Are we listening to what God wants us to do? Are we doing what he wants us to do? We're finishing up in Jonah. As we looked at the Jonah on Wednesday nights, we see that he obeyed, didn't he? He got up. God said, Jonah, get up and go. Jonah got up and went, didn't he? Just in the wrong direction. Obey completely, not just partially. And then the third thing, follow through with God's directives. We need to go where God calls us to be. You remember I asked you several weeks ago, are you willing? That's the question. Are you willing to go where God wants you to go? That doesn't mean he's going to send you to Africa, but are you willing to go to Africa? Are you willing to go wherever he wants you to go? Are you willing? Are we? When we consider it done, then we can see that we can follow through on the next step. Circle it with prayer in verses 3 through 11. The orders were to stay at least unusual, won't they? Encompass the city for 6 days. Surround the city. Blow horns. Shout and march all seem militarily crazy, right? Who in their right mind as a commander in chief would give those type of orders? Could you see our president telling our soldiers to march around Iraq, to shout, to blow horns, to march? They would look at him like he was crazy, wouldn't he? But this is what God told Joshua to do. The command was to go around. And as we see that he was told six, sometimes you wonder why six times, six being the number of man and seven being the number of God. In other words, on the seventh day when they marched, you notice it wasn't on the sixth day the walls fell down. It was the seventh day, meaning the number of God. It was God that did it, not them. It wasn't the vibrations of the horns or the shouting or any of those type things. It wasn't any of that. It was simply God that did it. And we see that the marching and the preparation are symbolic of prayer and meditation, and that's what they needed to be. They needed to be praying to God, looking and searching for God. Prayer is our communication and conversion, conversation with God. Isn't it great to know that we have a straight, direct line to God? Growing up, I remember some of the first hero cartoons that came out. Batman was the one, and it was always neat to know that the mayor had that red phone that was a direct line to Batman, you know? And anytime he needed Batman's help, what would he do? Pick that up and call it. Isn't it great to know that we have a direct line to God? That anytime we want to talk to God, he is never busy for us. We need to pray. We need to have that conversation. Matthew 21:22 says, if you believe, you will receive whatever you ask for in prayer. How many of us have prayed and not received what we've asked for? I have. We all have, haven't we? Why? Doesn't that contradict what I just read? Because when we prayed for selfish things sometimes. God, give me a nice home. Give me a good job. Give me plenty of money to pay my bills. Isn't that a lot of our prayers? Give me, give me. God, give me good help so I can do your work. Some of the best work for God has been done by what? People that are sick, people that are handicapped, not those that were physically fit. A pastor shared this. He was attending a church in Kentucky. He watched an especially verbal and boisterous child being harried out, slung under his irate father's arm. No one in the congregation so much as raised an eyebrow until the child captured everyone's attention by crying out in a charming southern accent, y'all pray for me now. How many times do we pray? How much time do we spend in prayer? How many times do we circle our problems with prayer? How many times do we say, and we use that verse in Paul that writes in Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. Praying all the time, talking to God all the time. Now, my wife likes to talk. She wasn't feeling good. She's been in bed all day yesterday. But I went to the grocery store. She made me out a list. I went to the grocery store, and when I left, she was talking to our youngest son, Casey. When I got home, she was still talking to our youngest son, all in one conversation. I talked to him last night for 3 minutes. could we talk and carry on that long with God, or is our conversation 3 minutes? You know, how long do we talk with God? Do we pray without ceasing? Prayer is communicating to God that we trust Him and we're truly seeking His will. Or are we really doing that? Jesus went in Matthew 26:39. He said he fell on his face to the ground and he prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you." Do we really pray to God? Do we ask? Do we seek? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Have we prayed, mountain be moved? And then the third thing we need to see is claim it by faith. Faith is following through with God's design and trusting his ability to deliver. One commentator put it this way: faith is when man cannot do any more and has to turn to God. Face it. If we don't need God, we don't need faith, do we? God, I'm not sure about this, but I'm sure going to try it. I'm going to trust in you. I'm going to have faith in you that I can get through this. Paul, the writer of Hebrews, put it this way: now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. Do we really believe in Jesus Christ? Do we really believe that he won the victory? Do we believe that this morning? Has Jesus won the victory this morning? Can we tell it in our lives? Can others see the victory of Jesus Christ in our lives, or do they see it defeated? So what's one of those gifts? Gift of witnessing. How do we witness? No, we don't go door to door knocking and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ, beating them over the head with a Bible. That is not one of the gifts that I think God gave everybody. But what he did give us was what? To live that life like Jesus. And therefore, every one of us in this room this morning, every one of us that have claimed to be Christians, every one of us has at least one gift that God's given us, and that is that one, a witness. Faith does not operate under the whims of the possible, but it's the impossible. Faith begins when man's power ends, when we can't do anything else. Faith is the belief in God's ability to accomplish the impossible. When God asks us to do a specific ministry, he knows that we can do it. Remember when he gave the commission to go, to preach, to teach, and he says, "And lo, I am with you always." Well, in each gift that God gives us to use, each task that he gives us to do, he is there with us. Probably all of you at one point bought at least a little thing, if not a big picture, of the footprints in the sands, or not. You have looked at it, you read it, and you knew it. How many times has God had to carry us, and we only see one set of footprints instead of two? God will always be there, folks. He will always take it. He will always be there. My favorite verse: I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But do you know how long it took me to understand that verse? To trust that verse? To believe in that verse? A long time. And I'm still not there yet. There are still some things that I'm still having to try to bargain with God sometimes, isn't it? "Well, God, you know, if I do this for you, will you help me over here? I got this problem. I can't do this over here until I can square this up over here." We've all tried that, haven't we? Why can we do all things through Christ? Because he goes down further and says, "But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches." And most people like to take that verse and say, "My God shall supply all your need, period." Right? And our needs are not God's needs, are they? So that's what we need to see this morning. Our God will supply us. He will take care of us. We can overcome as children of Israel. They overcame Jericho and all the others until they got the promised land. God will overcome every adversary, every task, every problem, everything that comes in front of you. God will take care of it. And as we sang that song this morning about Jericho, we can sing that song and claim it for anything. How do we accomplish the unconquerable, the impossible? First of all, with God, consider it done. Circle it with prayer, and then claim it by faith. Simple, isn't it? Very simple. Why do we make it difficult? Why do we make it so difficult? It is simple. Consider it done. God says, I have already taken care of that situation. It's done. We need to circle it with prayer. We need to pray. Claim it by faith and say, God, I know you'll take care of this. I trust you. I trust you. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, and we thank you for the scriptures that we see in Jericho and the story here, Father. And yes, it does sound like a really good story, maybe even a good movie, Father. But we know it's true. We know that it was you that pushed the walls down for Jericho. It was you that claimed that victory for the Israelites. And so, Father, help us this morning. Help us to consider it done this morning. Help us to bathe it in prayer, Father, and to claim the victory that you've given us in faith in Jesus Christ. Help us to walk taller. Help us to walk stronger. And help us to set an example in this world today that is pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.